when you open that passage, when you understand your spirit, like your mission in this world, there's no turning back. It was way too hard for me to just close the door and ignore it. I could not ignore it anymore. So that's when I made the jump. And I went through the tarot barrier. That's how Bob Proctor calls it. Probably some people are familiar with it. Tarot barrier is when you literally have to make a decision and you go through all these fears, all these scary, because of course, the first thing I thought it was, what are my parents are going to think of me? What is my friend is going to think of me? I have been doing that. And now, boom, in a second, you just change. People don't know what I went through. They don't know who I was because I kind of always kept it with myself, with my study, with my books. So it wasn't very evident to them, but it was so evident to me. And if you really want to be free in your life, you understand who you are. And that's what I was. That's what I am. So that's how I reached freedom and, yeah, freedom to express myself and to really do what I'm passionate about.
Hi, I'm Chris Ippolito, and welcome to Get Coach 360, where I'm documenting my journey from employee to entrepreneur while featuring the coaches that are helping me along the way. Each episode, these coaches provide actionable advice to help me and you, the audience, find more success as entrepreneurs. I invite you to join the journey so we can go and grow together.
Welcome to another episode of Get Coach 360. In this episode, Chris sits down with business growth and wealth creation expert, Vitana Costantino. Vitana discusses the importance of identifying who you are, becoming aware of yourself and the limiting beliefs holding you back so you can become aware of the solutions and break through those barriers in your life. She also discusses the practical ways of leveraging the human need for habits and routines to change your behavior, as well as the power of mindset and gratitude. And, as always, we'll close with Vitana sharing her advice for how you can take action now to level up wherever you need it most.
Hi, Vitana.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the Get Coach podcast. I am glad to have you on. You are, I think, my like third Australian I've ended up having on the show, which is awesome. So I've got Canada, US, and now Australia. And a little bit of the UK, actually.
Awesome. Thank you for having me then. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you.
Yes. And again, you're in Sydney, right?
I am, correct.
Okay. And you've got a bit of an interesting story as far as how you ended up there. And I believe it has a little bit to do with the journey that you've gone on to become a coach. So I was wondering if you could maybe share that story of how you got to be where you're at now.
Of course. Well, yeah, to start off, I really believe that everything happens for a reason. We just need to follow the flow and trust the timing of our life. And never regret anything because everything ends up together. And one day you'll understand why the life took you somewhere else. So yeah, I came to Australia 8 years ago. I'm originally Italian, as probably some people can pick that up from my accent. And yeah, I used to study psychology when I was at high school. And when I finished it, I went to uni. And then after uni, of course, I wanted to just push myself more. I'm that kind of person that really wants to try new things, really experiment myself and see how I deal with it, because it's a huge part of the process of learning. And really, you get to know yourself so much better and you learn so much faster. So then I decided to come to Australia, and I could not speak any English back then. So that's why I decided to come all the way to the other side of the world. Because if something was happening, I couldn't just call my mom or my dad because they were sleeping. We're literally on the other side. And I said, well, it's a sad. I'm not sure if you have the same joke in Canada. In here, I heard they say, well, if you want to learn how to swim, you've got to jump in the ocean. So that's what I literally did. I jumped in the ocean and I just experimented myself, and I realized, yeah, so many things, and now we can get through deeper later on as well. And life took me to become a coach and really help other people to make the jump and not be afraid.
What kind of work have you done prior to becoming a coach?
Well, when I came here, I kind of got a break. So psychology, it's always been my passion. Like, I have thousands of books, so I always read that. However, I became a event and coordinator manager in a restaurant here, which I loved because it was very managerial. I had to learn lots of organization, speaking on the phone with all the different accents as well. So really helped me to improve my English as well. And it was also for visas purposes. So that, thanks to that, I could get my permanent residency, and I am now a citizen as well in Australia. So I'm very glad for that.
Nice. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Do you remember some of the early lessons when you first moved to Australia and you're now on your own, very far away from family? Do you kind of remember what that felt like and some of those first few weeks, first couple months, and just, I guess, like some of the mindset that you probably had and what you had to overcome in that big transition?
Absolutely. I remember very clear. I made a decision to stop worrying about the future because I said, there's no point to worry or what it's expecting me to. I have no idea. I come from a really little city in Italy. I don't come from Milan or Rome, big cities. So coming from where I'm from to Sydney, which is a huge city compared to where I'm from, I just said, stop just thinking about it. Just don't expect anything. Just be open mind. Just enjoy the process, and anything that you learn, anything that can be even bad that you think it might seem bad to you or negative, it's going to learn your lesson. So just be open mind and accept whatever life is going to bring it to you.
Right. Do you remember, what did you take English courses, or did you end up just learning through going through the motions kind of thing?
Yeah, that's what I did. It's funny because in Italy, I refused to learn English at school because I just kept telling myself that I wasn't good enough. English was too complicated. I wasn't smart enough to understand this language. So when I came here, I said, no, I'm not going to go to school, because I had this kind of experience in my mind. So I think I would not learn English that way, because I already told myself that in a dialogue that wasn't the right way for me. So I just, learned the straight way. Just listening, picking that up, and keep asking questions. Every time I wanted to say something, I was pointing it and say, how do you say this? How do you say this? How do you say this? And this is how I learned.
Right. So the first phrase you learned was, how do you say this, right?
Yeah, because I went to look for it, because I said, if I want to learn how to say things, I need to learn how to ask for it.
How to ask. That's so good. My mom, who's French, from the French side of Canada in Quebec, when she moved over to the English prominent side, she ended up watching kind of like old comedies and or like just old, little bit more kind of like almost children's movies, stuff like that. That was how she would try and keep her English skill set and develop, mm-hmm. and of course asking people. So I'm always curious how people end up learning a language. I had shared that I was learning Italian with Duolingo. So nowadays there's apps and there's Rosetta Stone, which is a pretty popular one, but very expensive. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, the learning a language is a very fun process, right? But you had to immerse yourself in it. And I Absolutely. Think there's a lot of lessons in that in itself. So the lessons you learned from learning English, how do they translate into when you're trying to coach somebody? Or even just other aspects of your life, what are some of those lessons you learned about immersion that you try and incorporate into your coaching practice?
Well, definitely, yeah, making a decision that you really want to do something, because if you don't have a strong why behind, and my why, that's why I put myself in the hook, because coming to Australia, I must have spoken the language. I could not live without it. I had to get a job. I had to pay rent. I need to. So that's why sometimes pushing you and putting yourself in the corner, it's a good thing to do if you are not self-disciplined, which I wasn't. I learned how to be, but I wasn't back then. So definitely make a decision. I have a strong why, always attach that, and repetition. So you said a beautiful word that I'm so attached to it, immerse yourself. That's a big thing. It's true, because imagine an athlete. If you train yourself once a week Or if you train yourself 5 times a week, you're definitely going to get the results in different timings. So make sure that you really do the work. Action is very important. After you sorted out the why and the commitment and the decisions and the discipline, then you're going to start acting on it.
Right. And you had mentioned that when back in Italy, back home, you were refusing to learn English because of the way you thought about it as the challenge, the difficulty. And so in a sense, a limiting belief. What are some of the other kinds of limiting beliefs that you've personally gone through as far as breaking down those barriers and some other ones that you've kind of helped people get through, some common ones that you've noticed?
With myself or with other people, sorry?
Both. Yourself,
okay.
Other people, just some examples of some common ones you've come across.
Well, another one with myself and then just to share it. And it was a self-image, because when I was little, I was used to be a little bit chubby. And then I realized that this is how I thought I was. And this is because I always seen myself this way. My relatives, like, as a joke, they weren't doing to hurt me. However, I always been that way. And when I made a decision that this is not what I want to be, I had to change my self-image, start looking at myself differently. So this is one thing. Other limiting beliefs that I've noticed that in other people is definitely a cultural aspect, especially coming to Australia. I love the fact I consider myself really open-minded, and coming here with so many cultures, it's just so beautiful to see how different cultures, different people look at the same thing differently. And I could notice that it's beautiful to see. It's fantastic because you see all different perceptions of the same thing. And I could notice that in choosing a job or even choosing a location. In Italy, for example, you have to live close to the job, to the workplace, because it's easier, it's faster. So when I came here, I was looking for a house close to where I was living, and I wasn't even liking it. And nobody else was doing it. And they were questioning me. I said, okay, why are you doing that? I said, well, I don't know. This is how I didn't even think. That's why when we have these kind of cultural beliefs that we get from our past, we stop thinking about it. We stop thinking why we're making these decisions. It's quite funny to see. It's lovely though.
Yeah, it's almost like a form of programming, right? We grow up immersed in something, and so that just becomes second nature to us. So the way I operate or think is going to be different from yourself in a few ways, just from the facts that I live in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, you live in Sydney, Australia, and just the messaging that we hear around the same stories that are going on will be slightly different. And then if you're around something long enough, it becomes a part of you, whether you like it or not. Right. And that was kind of what I wanted to chat with you a little bit. You had shared a story on our original call around an experience you went through that kind of ended up preventing you from pursuing entrepreneurship. Do you mind sharing that story again with us?
Yeah, of course, please. I would love that. So, when I finished high school, I was studying psychology, as I just said earlier on. Then moving to university, I wanted to study psychology at university as well, because I just was so fascinated about the mind and understanding how the mind works and why we're taking certain actions. So I said, I really want to do that. I understood that was my passion. I was quite young, I think 17 years old, to discover that. I consider myself quite lucky back then. However, when it was the time to choose the university, my parents said, well, careful, because that's not my job in psychology industry. You're going to end up being a teacher at university. And then I thought, between me and me, I said, and what's the problem? I said, and so what? If that's what serves me, if that what really resonates with my being, I said, what is the problem? However, back then, my paradigms, and I wasn't, let's say, it's not about being strong, but I wasn't that structured yet to understand this, all this information that I am fortunate to know now. So back then, I just listened to my parents, because of course, my parents, they come from a different era. They come from a different culture. So what they tell you, of course, it's for your best interest. So that's why you trust what your parents tell you, because if they are suggesting you to do certain things, it must be good, right? So that's why I say, they said, well, just go and do economy so you can then work in a bank. And of course, that's what I did. I started economy and international business and law. Actually, I always wanted to understand how the different cultures and the trade, international trade was. However, after finishing uni, I came to Australia and this thing just kept staying with me. I started another business and it was about helping Italian companies come into Australia. So helping all the strategies apart. However, I was facing that lots of entrepreneurs back in Italy could not see what I was seeing. And that made me realize how passionate I was about perception and mindset side. I said, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And I went through a course of Bob Proctor. It's called Paradigm Shift. That was a really game changer for me because he keeps repeating to you, who are you? This is not Vitanna. This is the body I'm living in. We are first a spiritual before we become physical. So we are spirit living in a body. So anything that you see outside of me, it's just an expression of what's going inside my mind. And when I start realizing this, I said, all the second, I said, this is who I am. I always wanted to do this. This is who I really am. And that made me shift. And when you open that passage, when you understand your spirit, like your mission in this world, there's no turning back. It was way too hard for me to just close the door and ignore it. I could not ignore it anymore. So that's when I made the jump. And I went through the tarot barrier. That's how Bob Proctor calls it. Probably some people are familiar with it. Tarot barrier is when you literally have to make a decision and you go through all these fears, all these scary, because of course, the first thing I thought it was, what are my parents are going to think of me? What is my friend is going to think of me? I have been doing that. And now, boom, in a second, you just change. People don't know what I went through. They don't know who I was because I kind of always kept it with myself, with my study, with my books. So it wasn't very evident to them, but it was so evident to me. And if you really want to be free in your life, you understand who you are. And that's what I was. That's what I am. So that's how I reached freedom and, yeah, freedom to express myself and to really do what I'm passionate about.
Yeah, I think that is a pursuit that everyone really should go and try and uncover is who is like, what is your true identity? And the unique thing about it is, and I've had a couple of guests where we've kind of talked on this subject, but you can make the decision to shift your identity many times if you want throughout your life. But as long as it's what feels true to you, then you're going in the right direction. You're on the right path. I think a lot of people tend to, like you said, they listen to their parents or other influences, and then, you know, they kind of end up going down this path that's almost carved for them, but it's not their true path. And I feel like that's where a lot of people's mental, I don't want to say illnesses, but issues come from, whether it's depression or anxiety, is that like their conscious and their subconscious, there's like this misalignment and there's like this conflict of it. But I don't know, that's I suppose my opinion. But I guess coming from the world of coaching of Bob Proctor, I suppose that would kind of resonate with you, because that is very much his lessons, isn't it? It's all very much in here and in your core, whether you want to call it your soul, your spirit. So what are some of the other, I guess, what's an exercise that somebody can do that can help them realize perhaps what is their true identity or their true self?
Well, I suggest sometime if someone is struggling with a purpose, because some people just don't, maybe they never ask themselves what my purpose is, I suggest to grab a little notebook and a pen and every day sit in the same spot, your comfort chair, your beautiful spot of the couch, anything that you love to you feel comfortable, put some music on, one of your favorite music, and keep asking yourself, what do I really love doing? Who am I? what do I really love doing? If you have never done this exercise before, if you're starting today for the first time, it might take you a little bit longer. And then just keep asking yourself until you don't get the answers, because that's the thing. Sometimes we never stop and think. We really don't. We just kind of stuck in this autopilot mode. However, when you have this idea, like it was mine to become a coach and express myself, because that's what, like, spirit, soul, as you said, it's always seeking for expression. And when you understand who you really are, this idea is not going to leave you. That's why, as you said, conscious of conscious, that's a huge contrast. And you can't really live in harmony with yourself because you are doing something that is against the real you. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It's that exercise. Actually, I want to chat a little bit about that exercise, mm-hmm. because I know what a lot of people would struggle with, because I kind of went through it myself. That very first time where they sit down and they start asking themselves that question, what would be your advice to them when they, that first couple days, they sit down and they go, I don't know, right? They, for some reason, they're drawing a blank. Is there almost like another little exercise that they can do to help get the thoughts flowing a little bit to guide them maybe in the direction that they should go?
No, just be patient, really, because the mind is like a GPS. So by keep asking the same questions, you are going to get the answer. However, what the people are doing, because I've seen that, we don't allow ourselves to fantasize. This is about really allow ourselves to be honest with ourselves. We is going to start having all these limiting beliefs. They're not even allowing us to draw down what we really would love to do. Because you might want to do something, but you're too scared to say it. You're too scared to write it down because you start thinking, well, but I've got family. Well, I can't do that. It doesn't matter. Like, this is not even the step yet. The first step is understand what do you really want. And some people are already thinking of the how. Well, I want that, but how can I achieve that? So don't stop yourself. Allow yourself to really fantasize. You're just writing a shopping list. When we're kids, we are allowed to fantasize. When we become adults, we can't do that anymore, right? Because fantasy is just for little kids. Being adults, you're going to be logical, you're going to be rational, you're going to be
realistic.
Correct. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. So yeah, really allow yourself and have fun with it. Imagine you're a kid and you're writing a shopping list to Santa Claus. Just get back into your little child inside you.
Right. So the advice being, just let your guard down and allow yourself the freedom to just like pretend like you could have absolutely everything and anything. What does that lifestyle look like?
Correct.
Awesome. So they start doing that. And now they're starting to, maybe it's a dream board or they've got a journal where they're tracking all of this. From that step, where would you guide them to what would be the next step in that journey of really pursuing that identity that they're starting to uncover and develop?
Great. That's a beautiful question. Thank you for asking me. So after that, so as human beings, we only tend to do things that we understand. So if we don't understand, we are tempted to just close the door and say, no, sorry, I never heard that before. I don't trust it. So one thing is never reject anything, never even accept anything straight away, but have an open mind, think, consider it. So definitely it's about level up your awareness. So the first thing that I would suggest to anybody to start doing some reading, some studying. So open your mind and let more information come in, because if you're not aware how to change your situation, you're not even aware of the solutions. So by understanding, then you start applying. So why we need to understand? Because, for example, we are scared, right? We have these fears that are really controlling us, because every time we want to make a decision, fears are stopping us because of the future. So the question is, does anybody know what fear is? because we are dealing with something that we don't know. So if you don't understand what fear is, of course, you can't even face it, right? So let's understand what is actually going on, because when we understand how we work, how the mind works, we understand not just ourselves, but anybody else. And you are even more relaxed, because by the fact that when you understand how everybody operates, you don't even get upset with certain things. For example, if you made certain decisions, you know that everybody has paradigms. You just start living in a beautiful and balanced life. And that's what you have to aim for. You really attract things to your life that you are in harmony with. So if you have negative beliefs, if you're stressed, if you're focusing on fears, that's something that's going to impact your vibration. We think on frequency, we think on vibrations levels. So be careful. You know, that's a lot of things. So sorry if I just say many things together. However, it's about understanding. It's like, okay, I'll give you this example. It's like making a cake just with eggs. It's not going to come up as a cake. So you need lots of ingredients. So definitely start to get a book and read the recipe. Read what ingredients you need to in order to make that particular cake that you want to. Right? So same things with your life.
Yeah. So the lifestyle that you're envisioning for yourself, now that you have an idea of what that looks like, go find books or I like to use the term inputs, because books, podcasts, videos, educational videos, seminars, all those types of things, they're all good to get inside of you, right? So then go find the inputs that are going to help you gain more of an understanding of whatever it is that you're envisioning. Is there a kind of book, or do you have a certain book that you would recommend that everybody reads?
It's a classic.
Which one?
Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Yeah, I love that book. I went through a moment where, so I read that book, and then I read, let me see if I can spot it on my shelf here real quick. Oh, Thinking for a Change by John Maxwell. That one was really good. So I read those two like back to back. And then I ended up coming across another one, Charles Dehan, The Master Key System. Have you ever heard of that one?
No, actually.
Very similar concept in that, just what you were talking about the power of thinking and vibration and being in harmony, having your inner world and your outer world being in harmony. It was really interesting because I was like, these are three very different authors from three different walks of life, and they're all talking about the exact same thing in just slightly different wording. And I know Bob Proctor teaches a lot fairly similar. So it really shifted my mindset that there's a lot of power in thinking, and making things come to fruition. I know there's some people that'll think they think of that as far as the movie The Secret, Law of Attraction. There it is. A lot of people, when they hear the Law of Attraction, they kind of scoff at it because they go, if I think I'm going to get a Lamborghini, I'm going to get a Lamborghini. But that's not the whole
thing.
Yeah, that's not the concept. The concept is really, it's about focus.
Yeah.
Right. And the Law of Attraction is that you're thinking and focusing on something, an outcome, a desired lifestyle so much, but then you start taking actions that just ultimately get you to that goal in time. So yeah. I don't even remember where I was going with this. So I apologize.
Oh, that's right. No. another great book is The Psycho-Cybernetics. It's quite famous as well. It talks about the self-image. Oh, that's beautiful.
So what's that beautiful one called?
Psycho-Cybernetics.
Cybernetics.
Literally, yeah. Bob Proctor refers to that book as well a lot. It's amazing. And that's lots of exercise in it. So if some people wants to start, as I said, you know, it's awareness of studying and applying. So there are some beautiful practical techniques in that book already to start rock and roll.
I like that. The Master Key System was very similar in that he didn't call them chapters. He called them lessons. And he actually says at the end of each lesson, here's your exercise for the week. Beautiful. He even says, like, you got to do this for a week until you've mastered it. Don't even move on to the second one. And yeah, it was very interesting. The one of the practices, really his practice ended up being thinking, focused thinking, meditation, whatever kind of phrase, a lot of people call it different, but yeah, that was one of them that I thought was pretty interesting. So that's a common book. Now I remember where how we ended up here. What about meditation? Is that something that you typically recommend for people to be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I do that in the morning. So this is a little routine, morning routine that I suggest everybody. It's definitely take, even if you're not great with meditation, because some people say, well, I haven't done it yet, I can't focus. It doesn't matter. Don't worry. There's no right or wrong. It's all about starting a really exercise, because the mind is like a muscle. So the first day you go to the gym, you're not going to be able to do all the exercise that you're going to be able to do in 3 months. So don't stress about that. Think about the best you can do today. So just start. And if you're not able to focus, we're completely silent, there's lots of tracks on YouTube that you can use. Beautiful. You can choose your style and just learn to empty your mind. Just follow the music so you have a guidance to follow through, because if it's completely silent, that's when the people have some, let's say, a little bit of issues at the beginning, because of course we have thoughts coming through our mind all the time, especially if you're busy. Oh my God, I have to do this. You start thinking and planning your day, and that's not what we want. We just want to relax. So a suggestion is a guided meditation that someone talks in it, or even some music. It's going to be easier, definitely. And do that in the morning, because it's going to change your mood drastically. In the morning, I never watch my phone until after I finish breakfast. I write my goal, not for the day, my life goal, with my left hand. I'm right hand, but I write it with the opposite hand.
Yes, please do. I was like, I've never heard that before.
So, okay. This is another thing. This is another way of reprogramming your mind. Since we are only doing things that we are comfortable with, so if you really pay attention, this is what I love about this material. It's really becoming aware of ourselves. So if you watch yourself, I'm sure that you wake up in the same manner. You do the same things when you wake up. You do the same things because we are habitual human beings. It's normal. We look for routines, right? So the fact is that when we want to start behaving and start acting a different way, we're gonna making an input in ourselves. So that's why I write my goal with the left hand. And the first time I did, believe me, there was a lot of resistance. And you really got to pay attention. This is to remind yourself how hard it is to start doing things that you normally wouldn't do. So this is one of the techniques that I use. And then I write 10 things I'm grateful for, and then I do meditation. These are the three steps that I do. So thinking about, would like to spend a few minutes about the gratitude, because it connects with the law of attraction that you were talking before.
Yes.
So law of attraction is very misunderstood. Law of attraction is not the primary law. It's a secondary law. The primary law is a law of vibration. So this is a perfect example with gratitude. Some people write the gratitudes in the morning and they said, okay, it's done. However, if you have been grateful in the morning, and then during the day, maybe you watch something on TV, maybe, I don't know what political people are on because I don't watch TV. But anyway, you see a political person that you don't like, and you start being angry, you start texting your friends and say, have you heard what he said? Well, this is not feeling in harmony, because you are negative, you experiencing stress and you're not happy with it. So careful, like this is what I'm saying, when you are aware about yourself, really watch yourself, how you behave during the day, because the low vibration states that you are going to attract whatever you are in harmony with. So if you have been grateful in the morning and then during the day you get upset with your partner, you get angry straight away, you are impulsive, it's going to be a contrast. So that's very important to really find the balance. And if you could, everybody can do that. Everybody.
Yeah, I practicing gratitude. So there's, I've gone through a lot of conversations doing this podcast. I've read a lot of books. I've listened to a lot of podcasts. The practice of gratitude comes up so frequently with high performing, high success people. It's crazy. I mean, there's a lot of other ones that do, but practicing gratitude has been, I feel like it's becoming more popular in the Western world, whereas in Eastern philosophy, it came up a lot in Eastern philosophy. I ended up reading a few books in that world, and they're very ancient books, and they talk about it all the time. Whereas in Western philosophy, they do talk a little bit, especially like in Stoic philosophy, they do touch on it a little bit, but it wasn't really, it felt like even Stoicism got kind of popular more recently. So this whole idea of practicing gratitude is, I find it fascinating because I'm trying to, I guess there's one side of me that believes in this kind of stuff because I've seen the results. And when you hear enough successful people talk about it, I go, well, I like that lifestyle that person has, so I'm going to listen to their advice. But then there's this other part of me that tries to understand, like, what is the like scientific reasons behind it? Are you familiar? Have you looked into that? Do you know?
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, until you're not grateful for what you have, you can't have more.
Okay.
So the thing is that, and another thing, for example, you are in, let's make a practical example so people can understand better. So for example, okay, you are in real estate and you're trying to sell a house. You were so close. The person was pretty much about to close the deal. For some reasons, they aren't doing it anymore. And you get upset. And you said, what? I was so close to it. I don't understand. So shift that straight away, because being grateful, that's what is going to help you to move on and relax. Because the fact is that when you're grateful, you feel good. And this is an exercise to really shift. I said, okay, it happened for a reason. I'm grateful that happened because there's something else waiting for me. Maybe it's a lesson that I'm learning. And the fact is, when you don't practice gratitude and you instead are angry, it doesn't make you feel bad. So it's coming back to you, right? So when you are angry with, for example, your neighbor who's playing loud music, let's do another very simple example, like a common one, just relax, because the fact that you get angry is bothering you, not him.
Right.
So it's really to get the inner peace, the inner balance.
So gratitude is really it's more about taking care of yourself than anything else. It's another thing that's come up a few times is the act of being selfish so that you can become more selfless. Taking care of yourself health-wise, financially, through the practice of gratitude, meditation, all these things, you do it really for your own benefit. But once you've kind of taken care of yourself, you're then in a better place to be able to start taking care of other people.
So this example.
Yeah.
If you want to give food to some people that don't have food, but your plate is empty, how can you help them?
Yeah, exactly. You can't, right? Same with, I want to donate, but if I'm financially not sound, I mean, you can, but you're just putting yourself into a position where you don't have anything. So it's such an interesting concept because it is very, it's almost counterintuitive to the people that there's a lot of virtue signaling as far as like, oh, I do this because I'm so great and blah, blah, blah. Whereas the people that are doing things that are perceived as selfish are frowned upon. And I'm sure you can hear my son in the background right now, but it's very counterintuitive to what I think a lot of people would assume is to live a good life is to be selfless all the time. But sometimes you have to take care of yourself first to even be able to get to that point.
And the other thing is that because yeah, of course, it's a lot of people say, well, it's about, you know, you shouldn't be selfish, or why you want to be greedy to earn so much money. Every time a client tells me, I want to earn X amount of money within X amount of months, my question is, why? Because money is energy. Money is just, people don't want money. I never met any person that just want lots of money next to him. People want experience that money brings. So maybe you want the money because then you can take your family anytime you want to go have a beautiful holiday. So it's the experience, because money is just an instrument to exchange goods and services. And yeah, it's an instrument to increase your value that you put out there. For example, now we're doing a podcast. For you to create many podcasts, if you would like to increase this kind of business, you need more instrument. You need, you know, a system, you need an organization, you need other tools, and that costs you money. But that is simply because you are expanding your service, your value to the people that you want to impact.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very true. It definitely is a tool. And it's, I always find it easy. The saying actually that I don't like, I used to say it even myself, money is the root of all evil. I think that is such a silly saying, because when you really think about it, how is that even possible, right? It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's another huge belief. Everybody in the world thinks the rich people are nasty. You know, it's a huge paradigm about money, definitely.
Right.
And money is the easiest thing to earn, like easy.
Yes. Once you know how, right? That's the thing,
yes,
is that... And like a lot of other things, and this is especially more so true for adults. The older we get, if we don't know how to do something, you tend to dislike it, or it becomes like a negative. Whereas when you're younger, you're frustrated. But there's this expectation that adults have and put onto children. Well, of course you don't, like, you're getting frustrated, you don't know how to do it, but don't be silly. Like, you'll learn how to do it eventually. But then once we get to a certain age, that like mindset stops for some reason for a lot of people. And they just go, I can't. What do you mean you can't? Well, I'm whatever age, like for me, I'm 38 years old. I could never learn how to draw. I'm not much of a drawer. But we know that's a false statement. I just have to go learn. So when with your coaching clients, what would be some of those other areas, like with developing the right mindset when they say, I can't, what do you say to kind of like break that down for them?
I'll make them being aware why they think they can't, why they have certain beliefs, where they're coming from. A lot of techniques that we use during 6 months program, it's all working about really understand. Because I give you an example that when people don't know, that's why awareness is important. When people don't know, they rather not hearing about it and be skeptical and say, no, thank you very much. So I give you an example. Online payments with credit cards. I'm not at all. However, I still remember the first time I had to start using credit cards online. I didn't trust the system. I said, what? I can't see. Where is this money going? And what if I get my car act, which it happened, but it wasn't a problem because the bank notified me straight away. Now we don't even think about it. Now you pay everything online. Holidays, flights, shoppings, clothing, anything. It's not a problem anymore because it's common, because everybody's doing, and then you know everything about it. So really think, why are you stopping yourself? What is behind that?
Yeah. It's funny because as you were sharing that story, I personally know some people that still will not do online transactions because they're worried that, well, what if this happens? And I'm kind of like, you know, that's not really an issue anymore. Like, there's high security. It's probably like the number one method for paying for anything is online. But it's very interesting. We've covered a lot. I'd love to find out from you, with everything that we've talked about, what is that one piece of advice that you would want to share with the audience to help them level up wherever they need it most?
Definitely start expanding your awareness. And really look at your current results and be honest with yourself. So if you're not happy with your current results, just don't hide it, because you probably, there's something there. Results always tell the truth. So really, with all the honest with yourself, just humble and really look at the results and said, okay, you know what? I really want to be in control of my life. I have enough of fears and external circumstances controlling me. And you can do that. Everybody, just expand your awareness. Definitely go start having a little look into these materials.
I like that a lot, because that would really open up a lot of different paths that somebody could take as far as their personal journey.
So one thing that I would love to share as well is to make you realize, everybody, that fear and faith both require that you believe in something you can't see. It's your choice.
I like that a lot. Have you ever heard the saying, the acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real? I like that one a lot. Whenever I catch myself being afraid of something, having fear, I kind of repeat that in my head and I try and push through. Awesome. Sometimes I'm still working on it. So if people wanted to reach out and connect with you, Vitana, where can they find you?
Oh, my website is vitanacostantino.com. So first name, surname.com.
Perfect. I'll make sure that's in the show notes as well as all the other places that they can find you.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm quite social. So
perfect. Well, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. I guess for you, it would be enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to be getting ready to go to bed fairly soon.
The All beauty right. of the online.
Yes, I know. I love it. I love it so much. Take care.
Thank you so much, Chris. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Get Coach 360. If you're looking for more information, you can head over to our website, which is getcoach360.com. You'll find the show notes for this and every other episode there. And if getting actionable advice every week from professional coaches is something you want more of, then make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes.